I'm Joe Todd, and I'm doing the lesson.
I realized just a few minutes ago that I was supposed to be sorry.
Okay.
Sorry, Joe.
Just by way of introduction, a lot of you have, I've worked with you before. Some of you were in my Sunday school class with my wife when you were younger, and I work with a middle school group and so forth. But I'm a teacher by trade, okay, and I'm enjoying my summer. Who else is enjoying their summer? Hopefully everyone. Saul Zimmerman was the first one to raise her hand. That's great. But it's starting to wind down. I mean, school's coming back, so I'm going to try to get you ready for it, okay? I'm going to give you some a little review here. We're going to review some chemistry, some reading, some English. You ready for that? You excited?
Yeah.
Okay, the front row is excited, which is great. Okay, the front row is excited. All right, well, let's start with a little chemistry, okay? This is going to be an introduction to the lesson here. Chemistry is about testing things, right? Who knows about acids and bases? Okay.
I do.
All right, well, this is something that you can do at home. It's called cabbage juice indicators, okay? I just took a red cabbage, distilled it down, pureed it, and then squeezed out the pulp and was left with this fluid, which I thought I was going to offer to my son and tell him it's grape juice. But I decided not to do that. Okay? But this indicates if something's acidic or basic, okay? Now, when you look at acids and bases, they can look the same. Do they act the same? No, they act very, very differently, okay? All right, now, chemistry, come on. Who said chemistry? Okay, three people are proud enough to say yes, they've taken it. Okay, besides acids and bases, what's the other thing we say? What's the one in the middle? It's acid, basic, or neutral. Or neutral. Okay. Well, we're going to test some of these and see if you understand if they're acidic or basic. And you'll see the point here in a little bit, okay? But I'm just excited to get back to school. And I just want to review you over some school things, okay? All right. Here we are. Oops. All right. Whoops. Making a mess here. All right. If it's acidic, it'll turn red, pink, or maybe even orangish a little bit. If it's neutral, what is it? It's purple, okay? And if it's basic, it's going to turn bluish, might turn greenish or yellow. So let's start with, lemon juice. What do you think? Everyone tell me. Go ahead, call out.
Acidic.
Acidic, right? All right, so let's put it in here, and we'll test, and we'll see. Ooh. There we go, okay, turn pink. It's acidic.
Strawberry.
Yes, strawberry. Now, maybe I could offer that to my son. Ooh, I wouldn't do that. All right, baking soda and water. What's that?
Basic.
Uh-huh. There's more chemists out there than are letting on here. There we go. Ooh, a little too much fluid here. No, I'm not going to drink it, thank you. Okay, now let's try vinegar. What do you think?
Acidic.
Acidic? What color is it going to be?
Orange.
Orange, red? More pink. Okay, we got three more here. Water.
Basic,
neutral. What color?
Purple.
Stays purple, okay, good old cabbage juice. Stays purple. All right. Now, got a couple more. 7-Up. I just mixed this solution just fresh. I just poured some from there, from the beverage department back there, and turned around and the cap was gone. It had blown the top off. Found it. All right. What color is it going to be?
Lightly pink.
It's acidic, isn't it? Okay. You probably heard what happens if you leave your tooth in a Coke all night, right? There won't be much of a tooth left when you're done, because that's what acids do. Bleach. What color? Blue? Strong base. Yellow. All right. Now, let me seal up my fluids here. And Why did I do that? Well, not because I'm excited to get back to school, because I'm enjoying my summer, enjoying my time with my family, but because I thought it's a good way to kind of introduce the text that we're looking at. We're looking at John 10. And in John 10, the Lord talks for a long time about three kinds of people. Okay, he talks about the good shepherd, which you need to understand is him. But he also talks about someone who would shepherd. Okay? He talks about the thief, and he talks about a hireling. And so what we're going to do is we're going to look at those. And I'm going to give you a little time to study it and to use a technique that's useful to contrast passages like this. Okay? Now, a couple of things you need to understand here. The good shepherd was who, folks?
Jesus.
It's Jesus, right? Then who are the sheep? Someone raise your hand. Okay? Yes?
Christians.
Okay? That's right. But he talks about sheep being of his sheep versus other sheep. And so his sheep are Christians. Okay? When they're pulled out of the fold. Because the image is of a pen, where in this pen, a bunch of sheep are kept. And at that time, the pens were either in a cave or a walled-in structure. And there'd be one entrance, and that one entrance was guarded. The shepherd would sleep there, literally, and keep the sheep safe during the night. In the morning, he would get up, or when he needed to move them, and he would call them, he would know them by name, and they would come and follow him. But there were other sheep that might stay there. It might be a community area where they hold their sheep. Okay. Now, who are sheep for you? Who are sheep for you? Because if you're a Christian, you should be shepherding in some way. You should have sheep. Okay? Now, I'm going to tell you what that might look like. The sheep that would be in your life, if you're Christian, if you're committed to the Lord, if you're walking in His Word, if you love Him, then He's called you to tend sheep. Sheep are anyone that you have an influence over. Okay? Sheep are anyone that you have influence over or authority over in some way. And so it could be your friends, but at your age, more than likely, it's people who are younger than you. It's your brothers and sisters, okay? Younger brothers and sisters. And if you don't have younger brothers and sisters, it's children that you come in contact with that you might be able to share the gospel with, okay? So I want you to look at that passage in light of this. Think of it. If you're walking with the Lord, I want you to think in terms of this, what are some sheep or who are some sheep that I should be having an impact upon, okay? All right. Now, before I pray, I'm going to now turn back to school. Okay, we've done chemistry, now I'm going to go to English. We're now in English class. We're going to do sentence diagramming. And no, we're not going to do that. I saw groans there. I wouldn't do that to you. I hated that. Okay, but you need to know what a verb is. So someone tell me. Raise your hand. What's a verb? Only three people know. Oh my gosh. If more people don't raise your hand, they're going to have you around school. Okay, Josh, what's a verb?
Something you can.
That's right. It's an action thing. I mean, we're looking for the action verbs specifically, okay? There are being verbs, but we're looking for the action verbs. And here's what you're going to do. I mean, you read the directions right there. It says this. Circle the verbs that apply to the shepherd. So draw a circle around those. Draw a box around those that apply to the thief. And then I want you to underline the verbs that apply to a hireling or a stranger. Okay, now just before you do that, I want to pray for us, okay? Because you're going to do this individually on your own. I'm going to give you a little time to do it. Okay, so let's close our eyes and let's honor the Lord by praying as we do a little devotion here. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for the freedom we have to meet here to study your word. And I pray, Lord, that you would just help us to study this and to honor you with what we find. I pray that your word would have its work in our heart, that it would impact us. We would know what we need to do. We would know where we line up here. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. So in a similar way to how we tested the pH, we're now going to test you with the verbs, okay? So go ahead. I'm going to give you some time here. Go ahead and do the verb study. And please do it on your own quietly. Just before we go on the board and write up what you found, why are verbs useful when we study Scripture? Why do you think? Why do you think they're a good thing to study? CJ? Yeah, you can tell what's happening. You can tell what's happening. And what's interesting is you look at the Lord and the parables he uses, he often contrasts what people say versus what they do. And You all tell me, what really reveals what's in the heart? What they say or what they do? It's what they do. It's what they do, okay? The verbs are very important because they reveal what they do. Now, this right here, this cabbage juice indicator, revealed what kind of fluids these are, how they react, okay, how acidic or how basic they are. Well, these verbs, we're going to lay them out here, and we're going to use this to kind of test your own heart. You know, I've been convicted by this. And see, which column are you in? Which verbs apply to you? Okay. All right, I need someone to write for me, so who'd be willing to do that? Okay, thank you. Be great. Let's start with the thief. Okay? And what we're going to do is we're just going to briefly list out the verbs. And you know with the shepherd, there's obviously much more verbs. But with the thief and the hireling and the shepherd, we're going to list the verbs and then we're going to write a summary of it. Okay, so we're going to do a little writing too, which is great. Okay, but let's start with the thief. What are some verbs? Debbie, did you have a verb? Okay, you all help me here. Okay, what are some verbs? Yes, sir.
Steal.
Okay, what's another one? William. Enter. And then this is enter the gate, right?
Or does not.
Yeah, it is does not enter. That's true. This is predicates we're talking about, okay? Yes.
Kill.
I'm sorry?
Kill.
So steal, does not enter through the gate. Kill, that's great. Yes, sir?
Destroy.
Destroy. Yes, sir. Got another one?
Snatches.
Okay, that must be your aversion to steal. Yes.
Climb.
I'm sorry?
Climb.
Climbs. Yeah, climbs the wall, doesn't enter through the gate. All right, I think that's just about it. Yeah.
Fleas.
Now, the flea is going to be the hireling, not the thief. Not the thief, okay? All right, so here's what we have so far. They steal. They do not enter. They kill. They destroy. They scatter. They climb the wall rather than going through the narrow gate, right? Through the door, I should say, through the door. So now I want you just to briefly turn to the back of your sheet. And on the back, you see some instructions. It says, write a summary that describes the verbs used about the thief. Okay, so why don't you, I'll start this for you. The thief, and then you finish it. And then I want two or three of you to read what you said, okay? What does the thief do with the sheep? The thief does what with the sheep? Thanks for helping me. I realize you're finishing up, but who can tell me what they've got? What does the thief do? You know, in my school, I if you raise your hand, the person on your left has to answer. That's the way it works for me sometimes. Might do that. Yeah, there we go. All right. William, though, you ready?
The thief steals, does not enter, kills, destroys, scatters, and climbs.
Okay. Yeah, you listed those very well. Okay, did anyone else kind of summarize it? I'm looking for a summary, not necessarily a relisting. Does anyone have a summary of it? I may not have been clear about that, though, William. That was an excellent recital. Okay. Yes?
I just put the thief harms the sheep.
Good. The thief harms the sheep. Good. Okay. Andrew?
The thief is destructive and harmful to the sheep by killing, destroying, and scattering.
Okay. The thief is harmful to the sheep by killing, destroying, and scattering. Okay. Great. That's great. Now, let's move on to the next link. Next one. The hireling or the stranger? Okay. So, yeah, that's not it yet. There you go. Thank you. Okay, the hireling or the stranger, that's someone, the hireling is, you know, basically someone the shepherd hired to help with the sheep, so they're there, they're helping. What are some verbs we have for that? Yes?
Flees.
Flees, okay? They flee at the sign of danger. Andrew?
Not concerned.
Yeah, they're not concerned. They don't care. They're not concerned for the welfare of the sheep, okay? Yes, sir?
They don't follow.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. They don't follow, okay, the sheep do not follow a stranger's voice. So we can say the sheep do not follow them. Okay, the sheep do not follow them, the stranger or the hireling. Yes?
He beholds the wolf.
He sees the wolf. He beholds the wolf. That's right. Is that what your version says? Yeah. Yes?
Snatches.
Okay. The wolf snatches. We're talking about the hireling. Anything else? I think there's a couple more. Yeah.
He leaves.
Okay, he leaves in the, when there's danger. All right, anything else? Okay. Yes, sir. Andrew. Okay, I think we just about covered it, haven't we? All right, so now I want you to write a summary. Now, again, it's not that I want you to list all the words again. I want you to sum up the information, though, for me, okay? So sum it up. All right, who can share? Yes, sir.
The hireling
doesn't care about the sheep. Yes.
He cares more about himself than
the sheep. The hireling cares more about himself than the sheep. Josh. I like that. He's useful to a point, but then withers when there's trouble. That's good. Okay? Useful to a point, then withers. Yes, sir.
He does not have any sentimental attachment to the sheep.
Doesn't have a sentimental attachment. Yeah, that's right. He doesn't know the sheep. Doesn't know their names. Right? Yeah.
The sheep don't recognize him, and they won't be led astray.
Okay, the sheep don't recognize him. That's one good thing. The sheep don't recognize him, they won't be led astray. The true sheep. Okay? Good. Excellent. All right, now, the shepherd, we've already talked about the good shepherd. But I want to put this in context right now, okay? What did this mean at this time? Who was Jesus talking to at this time? Okay, if you go back to 9 and you go forward to 10, 19 through the end of the book, you could tell that he's talking to the religious leaders of the day, the Jewish Pharisees, okay? And so we need to understand, when he's talking about the thief, the hireling, and the stranger, he's talking about basically the Pharisees themselves. And he's talking about false prophets and false messiahs, people who've claimed to be the Christ, or people who've claimed to speak for God, but they really haven't. Okay? So that's the context. But you need to realize that these things do apply to us. They do apply to us. Now, the good shepherd, of course, is Christ. But it's really interesting, at the end of the book, what Jesus tells Peter to do. Now, without jumping to the end of chapter, to the end of John, which is chapter 21, who can tell me what did Jesus tell Peter the last time he saw him in the gospel? Okay, you remember, CJ? Okay, that was, but he used a special phrase. He wanted him to build the church, but he used a special phrase. You remember? Yeah, he said to feed my sheep. Okay, feed my sheep. Take care of the sheep. And so that was Christ's instruction to him. And basically, he could speak to you in the same way in that you should also be building his church. Now, I'm not saying that you are called to, you know, be a pastor right now. You're called to, you know, suddenly teach Sunday school. But if you are a Christian and you love Christ and you love his word and you're walking with him, then you should be having influence upon sheep. Okay? So you should be doing some of these things. Now, let's look at this test. All right, you need some help here, so raise your hand. There's lots of them. There's lots of them. What do we have? The verbs. William.
Say.
I'm sorry?
Say.
Say.
Speak.
He speaks. Okay, he speaks. Yes.
Authority.
Okay, he has authority over him. All right. Is that a verb? I don't know. I teach science, so, yeah.
He knows the sheep.
He knows the sheep. That's good. He speaks the sheep. He knows the sheep. Yes, sir. He lays down his life for him. Oh, you took her answer. She hates that. Okay, but that's important. He lays down his life for him. What else?
He leads them.
He leads the sheep. Yeah.
He enters through the gate.
Okay? Yeah. He calls the sheep by name. So there's an intimacy there. He knows the sheep. He calls them by name. Okay? You got another one?
He goes before them.
Hey, you know, in Western society, we do it different. Okay? We chase them with dogs, the sheep, or we, you know, herd them with a big stick and move them forward. But in their culture, it's just a beautiful picture of what the Lord does for us. He goes in front, and they follow because he calls them by name, and they trust him. Very different than us, okay? When I was on a ranch, we used, well, bulls. You couldn't get a bull to follow. You'd have to use a big old bull whip and a little electric zapping stick. We'd use that, okay? So that's why the analogy is good with sheep. I don't think it'd work with bulls. All right, anything else that you see? What are some other things that a shepherd will do? Yes, sir. Okay, he comes to him. That's true. Now, they all come in a sense, but he comes the right way. All right? good. Anything else? You've got one that's really good. So, he what? He feeds them. That's right. He feeds them. He takes care of them. You're right. You're right, Debbie. That was good. That was good. Okay. I think we just about covered it. Now, again, I want you to take some time to write a summary of that. Okay? The shepherd. Write a summary of the shepherd. The shepherd what? Okay, who can share this time? Alistair, what do you got?
He loves the sheep and he cares for them.
He loves the sheep and he cares for them. Good. Yeah, Andrew, are we next?
In charge of the sheep and he cares for their needs.
The shepherd's in charge of the sheep and cares for their needs. Good. Yeah, the shepherd is the only one who cares for the sheep, who really cares about them when they're in trouble. Okay, yeah. Okay, the shepherd acts like a father. And I think you're saying in the sense that he protects and he leads. Yeah, the shepherd is like a father. Good. Those are great. Any others? Okay. All right, now I want to flip it a little bit. We've looked at the verbs associated with the shepherd, the hireling, and the stranger, and the thief. But I want you to see how the true sheep, and the true sheep, CJ, that's what you and I were talking about, those are the ones who are Christians, how do they respond to each one of these? Okay? So, what do the true sheep do? How do they respond? Let's start with the thief. How do they respond to them? Yeah, how do they respond? Yes, sir?
They don't trust them.
They don't trust them? Okay. Yes, sir?
They scatter.
They scatter. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir?
Well, it says that they get destroyed.
They get destroyed. You know, around the world, there are thieves, people who are killing Christians, destroying Christians. Okay? They get killed. They get martyred. But, you know, even, I think, within a church, people need to be aware that there could be thieves there. There could be people who climb in through another way, right? They're not going through the door, which is Christ. And they're not here to benefit. They're here to take in some way, to destroy, to wreck what God would build. You could be a thief here tonight, and I don't think you're planning on killing CJ tonight. I hope not, anyway. Okay? But it may be your desire to steal someone's attention away from God and His Word and put it on you. In that way, you're like a thief because you're seeking what would be good for you, what would be selfish for you, but wouldn't achieve God's glory. So you need to realize that. It's like one of those tests, you know. What color do you come out? Why are you here? Okay, the hireling or the stranger. How do the sheep respond to them? Yes. They don't follow him. Good. Yes. Yeah, they don't recognize. They don't recognize him. Okay. Yes, sir.
They ignore him.
All right? So, yeah, true sheep, when a false teacher comes, true sheep, if you're really walking in the Lord and you're starting to grow in His Word, you should start to recognize when people are telling you things that aren't right, you know, that don't line up with Scripture, and you shouldn't listen to that. And that's error. That's wrong. Okay? How do the true sheep respond to the shepherd? What do? To the Lord in this sense, but also to people who really care for Him, who are walking the Lord, who are their leaders. Yes? I'm sorry? They should follow. They should follow the shepherd, yes.
They recognize His voice.
They recognize His voice. Okay, good. They respect Him. Josh?
They listen.
Yeah.
They obey.
They should obey. A true sheep will. Okay, yes. Okay, and true sheep, of course, enter through Him, through the gate, and that's talking about the gospel. Okay? Excellent. All right. Now, I just want to kind of sum up what you've done. What you've done is a way to kind of contrast, you know, when you're given characters or you're given a situation and it talks about them over and over and over, it's a useful way to contrast them by studying the verbs. And I encourage you to do things like this. Set up a column and contrast how different these guys are. Okay, and a verb study is one way to do that. Now, which column applies to you? If people looked at your life and, you know your heart, you may not know your heart as well as God knows it, But I think that through His Word and what you've been doing, you know enough of your heart where, as you look at this, which applies to you? Are you someone who, you know, is destructive spiritually? Would like to wreck people's spirituality? I hope not. Are you someone who flees when there's trouble? When there's a sign of a commitment? When there's a sign that, you know, it's a sacrifice? Because if a wolf's coming, you know, I could get bit. I could get killed, right? Are you someone who flees when there's danger, or flees when there's a call for you to sacrifice? Are you not really concerned? Do people, do sheep not really follow you? Do they, you know, do you not have anything to offer them? Or are you someone like this? You know your sheep. You care for them. You provide for them. You lead them. You would lay down your life for them. Okay? It's like this, acid, base, or neutral. Where are you? Now, as I looked at this list, I saw I needed to grow. I saw, because myself as a husband and as a dad, it's very clear who my sheep are. Okay? And it's very clear what I need to do. But as I look at this list, I realize, you know, I'm not laying my life down completely. I'm not leading in the best way that I could, in the clearest way. I know their names, though. That's good. Okay? But as you look at this list, who would agree with me that you're not where you'd quite like to be? Who would agree? Okay? All right. Well, let's look at what you should do then, okay? If you're in these two columns, it may be that you're not a believer. If you're not a believer, you're not going to really care for the sheep. You're not going to want to lay your life down for them. I'm going to contrast these two columns with the shepherd. As I looked at them, the real difference is the hireling and the thief, they're looking for what they can get from the sheep. They're looking what they can get from others. The shepherd is looking to what he can do for others. Are you someone, as you look at people, as you look at those who are younger than you, as you look at your brothers and sisters, you know, or even your friends, are you looking for what you can get, attention? Or are you looking for what you can give to them, how you could bless them? That's a real difference between those. Okay? If you're not a Christian, if you're not His sheep, well, here's the problem. Let's jump down a little further. Open your Bibles to John chapter 10. And we're going to jump down a little further. John chapter 10. At the end of that dialogue, there was a pretty big debate with the Jews about what was going on. Some of them were saying he has a demon. Others were saying, no, he speaks from God because he has these powers. And so there was a real debate about who he was and what they should do. But Jesus knew exactly where they were. Verse 25. Here's what it is. Jesus answered them, and I told you, and you do not believe the works that I do in my Father's name. These bear witness of me. But you do not believe because you are not my sheep. Okay? And so he knew, he said, he's addressing a group of unbelievers. And here's what he said to them. I know you're not believers. Because for one, they didn't believe in him. They didn't believe in the works. And then let's jump down to verse 27. Here's what his sheep do. Verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Okay? If you're really a Christian, you will be attentive to his word. You will desire to follow him. Now, I'm not saying that you won't sin and that you'll do things you regret. But you will experience great remorse over it and conviction. And God will restore you as you turn to him. That's how, from this text, you can tell if you're really a believer. Okay? You respond to his voice. You follow him. Verse 28, let's jump down there. And here's what he did by laying down his life. Verse 28. And I gave them eternal life that they should never perish, and that no one should snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. And so, right there, that's the gospel. He's talking about what I've done for them. Okay? Now, you all are familiar with it. You've heard it. Remember? Why don't you help me here? Tell me the rest of this. It says in Isaiah, though your sins were as scarlet, right? What does it say? I will make them what? White as snow, right? Though your sins were as scarlet, I will make them... That's not as white as snow, but it's, you know, it's the best I can do. I'll make them white as snow. Okay? And how could he do that? Well, it's because he led a perfect life. You know, it's not just that he died on the cross for you. He lived a perfect life in your place. He lived a life where every minute of every day, he did the will of his Father. And he did that for the joy set before him, it says in Hebrews, so that you can know the Father, so that you could stand precious and holy in his sight. And that's the gospel. You believe in that. You believe in the death, that he died for you, and recognize that he did it because he cares for you and he loves you. And then he came alive and he's able to fulfill all of his promises, eternal life, and to make you a work that's useful to him. Then you are his child. You are one of his sheep. He's called you by name. Okay? So if you're in these columns and you have no desire to be here, then I would say that you don't know him. Okay? You don't know his voice. But through the gospel, that's how you come to him. Okay? And he calls to you. Now, what about if you're here and you want to grow in this way, okay? If you're here and you want to grow here, what should you do? Well, let me give you a couple of ideas to think about, and we're going to discuss these in the accountability groups here in just a little bit. So, I don't have this on the handout, so I appreciate you all writing it down so that when you get to your group, you can discuss some of these, okay? What are you laying your life down for? What are you laying your life down for? What does that mean? Well, we know what Christ laid his life down for. He laid it down for us, for the sheep. What does it mean to lay your life down? It means that your energies, your time, your thoughts, your resources go towards this one goal. When people look at you, what is it that you talk about? What is it that you think about? What is it that you spend your money on? What is it that you spend your most precious possession, that's your time, on? That's what you're laying your life down for. It should be for sheep. It should be so that you're growing, so that you can be useful to the Father, so that you can minister to sheep. Here's the second one. Who are the sheep in your life? Okay, who are the sheep in your life? Who are those who are most likely younger than you that you can have an impact upon? And you know what? I'm going to caution you. Because oftentimes, I know when I was your age, I'd think, yeah, my sheep, they're my friends. But think about it. When the Lord came, this is the guy who created the whole universe, right? I mean, he made all the stars. He made all the galaxies. He made all the worlds. He made the cells and all their tiny machinery that work. As he was ministering to the sheep, could the sheep really give him anything? Could they? No. So if you're thinking that my sheep are my friends, I need to caution you, because oftentimes you're doing things in front of your friends because you're just seeking your own glory. Okay? You're just seeking your own glory. You're just trying to look good in front of others. Sheep, in this sense, are those who really need your help, who really need your example, who really need your encouragement, but they can't give you much in return. Okay? We couldn't do anything for the Lord to benefit him, to help him. He needs nothing from us. So who are the sheep in your life that you minister to, and it's not so that they could pat you on the back and say, great job? They may not even understand what it is that you're doing. Okay? Here's the next question. How have you shepherded them this week? What have you done this week to shepherd them? And we'll look at what that looks like in just a little bit. Okay, but some of that is here. What have you done to get to know them? How have you laid down your life? How have you sacrificed for them? How have you led them? How have you fed them? So that question was again, how have you shepherded them this week? Then one more question for you. Oh, I got a suggestion before that question. Here's a suggestion. Hey, you know, my wife and I are helping with the Summer Sunday School program, and there's been a number of you teens who've been helping out, and I've been most blessed by that. That is a practical way to shepherd sheep. Okay? To minister to children. And so I'd encourage you to do that. I still need people to do games with the kids and to run some music. And also, it's just great to have you helping in the classroom. You know? I'm only looking for maybe a 2-week commitment. We've got 4 weeks left. So 2 weeks, and then you're off, and then 2 weeks. I don't want to take you from youth group, but I want you to extend in front of you an opportunity for you to recognize that there's sheep out there who could use your help, that you could be an example to. You could help them memorize their verses. You could minister to them. Okay? So that's one practical way you can do it, also through Awanas. But folks, you should only be doing that if you're walking with the Lord. Okay? You shouldn't do it so that you can tell others, hey, yeah, I'm working with these kids. Look at me. Okay? You should do it because you're grateful for what the Father's done in your life, and you want to shepherd some other children. You want to help them. Okay? Now, here's the last question. What changes do you need to make to be in this column or in this way? What changes do you need to make to become a shepherd rather than a hireling? What are some changes that you need to make to become a shepherd rather than a hireling? Do I need to repeat any of those? I think we got them, right? All right. Well, we're going to turn to one last thing, one last part, and that is John 21. John 21, these are the last recorded words that the Lord had with Peter. Someone remind us. When the Lord was first talking with Peter, what was he recorded to have said? You remember? When he first met him? I'm going to give you a hint. He was out there on the boats and he had a miraculous catch of fish. Right? What are some of the first words he said? Yeah.
Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men.
That's right. Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Follow me and I'll make you a fisher of men. And I find it interesting that at the end of this, and then right again, there's another miraculous catch and they knew right there. You know, the Lord had died. They saw that he was resurrected. And then they're on the beach, or I'm sorry, they're out from the beach, and they haven't caught any fish, and they're coming in the morning, and they have another miraculous catch, and they're just excited. But I find it interesting that the Lord finishes his time with Peter by not saying again, I'm going to make you a fisherman. He says, now, I want you to be a shepherd. Let's look at the verses. Verse 15, chapter 21, verse 15. So, when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? And probably here he's referring to, you know, the fish or fishing. And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, tend my lambs. Verse 16. He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, shepherd my sheep. Verse 17. He said to him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, tend my sheep. So here's my challenge to you. Do you love Jesus? Do you love him? If you do, you will tend sheep. You'll minister to others. You'll help them to grow. You'll share the gospel if you really love him. You'll lay down your life for him. Verse 18 kind of talks about that with Peter. He said, truly, truly, I say to you, when you were younger, you used to gird yourself up and walk wherever you wished. But when you grew old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will gird you and will bring you where you do not wish to go. And then he said this, signifying the type of death that Peter would have. Peter would lay his life down for the sheep. Now, I'm pretty confident that the Lord's not going to call you to lay your life down and die in some horrible way. I sure hope not. But he is calling you to lay your life down for things that matter, and sheep matter. Okay? Thank you for listening. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us just to reflect upon our love for you. And might that love for you motivate us to minister to others. I pray also, Lord, that if there's some here who recognize that they don't have a love for you, that they don't do things for others. They don't sacrifice for others. They look for what they can receive rather than for what they can give. I pray that you would just convict them of that. You might help them to see their sin and draw them to you. Just thank you again for the time, for the freedom we have to meet, and for studying your word. And we praise you that that you sacrifice for us so that we can shepherd others, so that we can follow your call on our lives. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.